You, no matter what you will say, any position you take, you will be criticized by someone. And if you decide to say nothing, you will be criticized for that too. So even a deliberate decision to keep silent requires courage. And that is a judgment call that you must make when you are alone with your own conscience. So you must be brave, and brave even imprecations, insults, and stones. And the third is an even greater challenge, and that is the special code of conduct of a dove. The first part of the same halacha in Hilchas Sanhedrin in the Rambam shows how a Jewish leader must comport himself. A Jewish leader must not act with too much majesty, with too much officiousness over the people. Not begasus aduach, not with vulgarity, but with modesty and gentleness. And a parnas or a leader who overly intimidates his people will have to pay for it someday in the eyes of heaven. V'chein asur lo linhag behen kalus rosh. You must never conduct your office with a light head, with contempt. Even for people, afal pi shehein amei ha'aretz, they may be illiterate Jewishly and ignorant. It is no excuse for acting with anything but respect. You must never lord it over the heads of Am Kodesh. Afal pi shehein hedyotos u'shfeilim, b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov hein b'tzivos Hashem shehotziyam mimitzrayim b'koach gadol v'yad chazaka. They may be lowly, they may be common, they may be vulgar, but they are the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, whom the Rabbanu Shalom took out of Mitzrayim and led them out with a strong hand. And therefore, so veil the Toreach HaTzibur Masan Kemoshe Rabbeinu. You must bear patiently, patiently, the burden of the community, even as Moshe did. Kasha Yisa Omeina Sayonek, like a nursemaid holding a baby. You simply have to be a very tolerant person if you want to be a leader. That is a difficult standard, but there is no excuse for violating it. You must feel a basic compassion for people. Treat them with dignity, even if you feel they are undeserving. In a word, as the Rambam put it, follow the example of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, I believe, did not particularly like his Jews, but he loved them. Even if you don't like sometimes some of your people, you have got to love them and act lovingly towards them. So much for the who. The what of your callings as congregational rabbis and educators is one word. It has been stressed before at this session. And that word is Torah. Without it, your drushes will be an insipid string of pious platitudes. Your counseling will be bereft of the wisdom of the ages. And without Torah, continued Torah, you will be reduced to the level of pastoral entertainers, or at best, social workers with smicha. Now, there's nothing wrong with social work. It is an honorable profession, and we're proud of it. But the Rav, while he may use social work techniques, is primarily a Rav and nothing else. What gives you your authenticity as Rabbonim, as Orthodox rabbis, is your study and commitment to Torah, all of Torah, but primarily halacha. Take it from someone with experience. Your communal and professional obligations, if you are sincere, will be overwhelming. Overwhelming. It will make it seem forgivable for you to neglect your kviyas itim l'Torah. And before long, you'll begin to forget more and more and more. But if you keep up with your learning, your professional experience will become an additional source of edification. It will lead you to a form of Talmud Torah that may be of a different order. You will be learning with your usual halachic acumen, which you acquired under the tutelage of your distinguished Rosh HaYeshiva, but the very act of living with their people and their intimate problems, experiences far beyond those which you were exposed to during your student days. will endow you with the ability to find in other mitzvos HaTorah marvelous secrets. And you find in all of Torah that there are dimensions you did not suspect existed in both Halacha and Agada. And they will enrich your ability to deal with people. And they will become, if you are wise and sensitive, sources not only for drashas, but for your chochmas hachayim. The great Reb Tzedek HaKohen of Lublin, one of the giants of Hasidic thought, who passed away just at the turn of this fading century, says that there are two traditions. One medrash says that mem tes panim l'Torah, there are 49 facets of Torah, and the other one is shivim panim l'Torah, 70. How do you reconcile this? And he says you reconcile it by understanding that there are two kinds of Torah, or rather two Torah issues from two streams, two sources. And there are two trees. One of them is the Eitz Hadas Tovara, the tree of knowledge, and the other one is the Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life. The Torah that has 49 facets issues from the tree of knowledge, from the Eitz Hadas. There is so much das, so much knowledge, so much wisdom in the Torah, and there are 49 ways that it expresses itself. But when you go to the Eitz HaChayim, when you go to the tree of life, which means you take what you've learned in the Beis Medrash and the Yeshiva and you apply it to life as it is lived by most people, and you do it with integrity and with wisdom, then you find that Torah has not 49, it has 70 panim l'Torah. And those extra 21 panim l'Torah you will discover as you go out and convert your Eitz HaDa'as to the Eitz HaChayim. So learn from your experience and learn to find your guidance someplace in those 70 dimensions of Torah. Don't separate Torah from life. Each enriches and expands the other. And finally, we come to the where of your future lives. You know, as I indicated, in transition between school and career, yeshiva and abonis, absorbing and giving, being led and leading. Some of you have shown that you're prepared to go to the ends of the earth to teach Torah. One of you is here from Turkey, another one from Hong Kong, others from Brooklyn. And many of you feel, alas, that you must stay close to home. Close to home means New York. You feel that leaving New York is an unimaginable tragedy. Yes, Israel you'll accept, but even then there has to be Yerushalayim. There's a kind of geographic provincialism that grips all of us, where you think that everything in America west of the Hudson is the equivalent of Me'evil and Nahar Sambatyon, and anything north of Rockland County is beyond the Horei Achoshech. The Rav used to say that he never met anyone as parochial or as provincial as a typical New Yorker, and how right he was. Now, I can understand your reluctance to leave the environs which have served you so well these many years. Look, here's the place where you've been nourished and nurtured. You had your Rebbeim, and you had your professors, and you had your Chaverim, your family. It's hard to leave. Even a fetus experiences trauma as it is expelled from its mother's womb. But it must happen. In Tehillim we say, Ani hayom yiladaticha, I have today given birth to you at the Chag HaSmicha. You must leave, you must make your mark wherever there are Jews who need you, who need to be taught and instructed and guided and counseled and loved. They need you, and you must do so as authentic B'nai Torah filled with Ahavas Yisrael. Yes, despite the phone and the fax and the email and the web, you will be distant if you go out there. You will be distant from your Rebbeim and from your colleagues and your family. But even a chick must be pushed out of the nest. And you too must learn how to fly, not only to fly, but to soar on the wings of learning and love to heights you never expected and satisfactions you never imagined. Along with the frustrations, the longing, and the loneliness. Now, some of you will question what I've told you on the basis of a well-known baraisa in the last parak of Avos. Let me bring it into the open because it speaks to your situation. Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma said that Pa machas ha'isi mahalech v'derech, I was once walking along Ufoga biyad amechad, and a man met me, and he greeted me, and I returned the greeting. Amalin, and he said to me, Rebbe, meize mokamata, where are you from? Amarti lo, I said, Meir gedola shel chachamim v'sofrim, I come from a city of, great city of wise men and scribes, scholars. Amalin, so he said to me, Rebbe, v'chon d'tzolcha shetadili emanu b'makomeinu, why don't you come to live with us? And I will give you elef alofim din ve'izav va'avonim tovos margolius. I'll give you thousands of dinarim, jewels, everything you want. Amarti lo, I said to him, Bnei Yisran, imata nosein li kol kesev v'zahav va'avonim tovos margolius sheba'olam. Give me all the money in the world, all the gold and the silver and the pearls and the gems. Any dar elam emakom Torah, I will live only in emakom Torah. Now, I can imagine that scene. I can really imagine it, having been through the rabbinate for 25 years. I can imagine this forward, aggressive shul president who means well but doesn't quite express it properly, accosting this holy Tana Rabbi Yossi and saying, Rabbi, heard you speak last night. You're pretty good. Tell me, how about coming to my place? I'm the president of the shul. I'm also president of the search committee and the rabbinic placement committee. And I can do it on my own. I'm authorized. How about coming to my town, take a pulpit there, give you a tremendous salary, big pension, one trip to Israel per year, a car, a house, alle glicken. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisra says, sorry, son, it's not for me. I don't deal in such coin. That's the coin, it's materialistic, it's vulgar, and I don't do such things. It's not for me. Well, it would seem, therefore, that there is good reason for those who simply do not want to leave the metropolitan area. This, after all, is an ir gedola shel chachamim v'sofrim. And you seem to have an excuse for staying close to the mama yeshiva. And yet I tell you that go you must. Go you must if you want to be true to your mission towards which you have been educated, and that's for two reasons. The first one is that Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is not the only authentic voice of our Masorah. There are other views. And thus, for instance, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Chav tells us in the name of Rish Lakish that there are several times that Torah was all but forgotten in Eretz Yisrael, and only the infusion of strength in Torah learning by individuals who are willing to struggle in a new and difficult environment for the sake of Torah, leaving behind the secure walls of the Bate Midrashim and Yeshivas in Bavel, they were able to restore Palestinian Jewry to its former eminence. Amar Rish Lakish, Hareini kaporas Rabbi Achia uvonav, shebetchilak shenishtakcha Torah miYisrael. I am indebted to Rabbi Achia and his children because in the beginning when Torah was forgotten from Israel, Ola Ezra mi Bavel viYisoda, Ezra came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to bring in Torah. Chazra v'nishtakha was forgotten again. And what happened? Ola Hillel ha-Bavli v'yasada. The Babylonian Hillel came and by himself was able to build up Torah. And Chazra v'nishtakha, again it was forgotten. Ola Rabbi Chia v'na v'yasada v'yasaduha. Then Rabbi Chia and his children came and they built it up. Now I ask you, imagine if the elite of Polish Jewry, the Bavel of our period of history, had gone on Eliyah to Eretz Yisrael instead of remaining in Poland. How different the whole picture of Eretz Yisrael would be today, 50 years after its founding. Imagine if some of the greatest Gedolim at the end of the 1800s and the early years of this century had decided to come along with ordinary Jews to America and introduce Torah learning here on a much grander scale. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef would not have been a kol korei by Midbar. It would have not have taken 80 to 90 years for us to begin to feel that orthodoxy has a chance in this country. Imagine if Dr. Revel and Dr. Belkin and the Rav and their predecessors had decided to nestle in the warm and supportive environment of Eastern Europe or the lush oil fields of Oklahoma and had not ventured here to build Torah, to build our yeshiva. Where would we be today? Imagine if Arbaran Kotler had decided when he came from Europe to stay in Brooklyn where he was loved and admired and supported and not decided to go to Lakewood to build a great yeshiva and start a great movement. So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma offers a legitimate view of the role of the rabbi and the preference for an ir gadolah shel tamidei chachamim. But others offer competing visions. And I submit to you, young mesmachim, that your obligation lies first and foremost in the small outlying communities where you will struggle financially, perhaps, be disappointed undoubtedly at the absence of intellectual Torah companionship, where you may have to nurse your dreams in a degree of loneliness, but you will be working out your mistakes, will be learning something, and you'll be making a supreme effort to do what Ezra and Hillel and Rabbi Chiya and his children did for Eretz Yisrael and their generations. You will be building your own reputations at the same time that you will be participating and perhaps leading a renaissance of Torah in the hinterlands. Remember that those Jews too are Jews. They are as deserving of our attention and our sacrifice as the Jews of Borough Park or Muncie or Teaneck or the Upper West Side. And finally, there's a second reason for urging you to be more adventurous geographically, to go out into the wild blue yonder, to do what the Lubavitcher do. Perhaps Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma didn't at all mean what I said he meant and what most people understand by this baraisa. Rather something different, but something of supreme importance to you as you leave the walls of the yeshiva. Note in the passage that I read to you the recurrence of one word, and that word is makom, place, not city, not town, not shtela, but makom. The discerning but materialistic and somewhat brash shul president asked the rabbi, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, Rebbe, me'eza makom ata, what is your place? Every man, every woman has a makom, a place, a locus, spiritual rather than geographical, a rootedness that determines his character and aspirations and dreams and ambitions and orientations. Our Mr. President wanted this talented and famous rabbi not only to move to his town, that would be perfectly legitimate, but he wanted him to change his makom, to transform his very identity, completely from a scholar of Torah to a clerical professional, from a perpetual student to an efficient administrator, from a spiritual to a social persona. That's what he wanted. Rabbi, he told him, you've got to be like one of us, one of the boys. She'todah imanu bimekomenu, adjust to our makom, have our values, do it well, do it like a rabbi. But it's got to be our makom. And then you can aspire to all the wealth and social prominence that goes with it. And the answer, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, is loud and clear. All the money, all the fame, all the prestige in the world will not allow me or permit me to change my makom for one of Torah to one of vulgarity, where the only standard of success is Alfei Alofim Dindanim and Zahava Margolias Tovos. Rich, comfortable, well-meaning, kindly, benevolent, but vulgar nevertheless. I'm ready to go any place for a Torah, but never will I transform my identity from a Ben Torah to anything other than that. That is my makom and no other. So when we urge you to raise your eyes and broaden your scopes and your horizons beyond the confines of neighborhood and city, it is purely a matter of geography, not identity or spirituality. Indeed, wherever you may go, whatever you may do professionally, and that holds true for those of you going into law or medicine or business as well as the rabbinate, although I'm proud and pleased that the overwhelming majority of you are going into Avodas HaKodesh, your makom must always be here, in that room next door, in the Beis Medrash, firmly fixed within the walls of our Beis Medrash forever and ever. For that, this is the makom which nourished your souls, which sharpened your wits and fostered your dreams, were dedicated and brilliant to the Bayim, taught you how to learn and shepherded you through abstruse texts and educated you in the art of applying the light of Torah to illuminate the most dank and dark corners of the human situation. It is this makom which you must always return to refresh your neshamas, to re-energize your minds, and reconfirm your commitments. And if you do that, you will learn that this special makom will be very, very crowded. You know who you'll find there? Your distinguished Rosh Yeshiva, and also those of the past. If this is your makom, you will always have with you the Rav, and always have with you Dr. Revel and Dr. Belkin and the B'David and the Mecheta and the whole array of Gedolei Yisrael who populated this Beis Medrash and whose makom this too is. It is in this spirit that I conclude with one of the pearls of wisdom of the great Rav Meir, as told to us in the Gemara Brachos. Margalah b'fumei de Rav Meir, he had a favorite saying, Gemar b'chol levavacha v'chol nafshecha l'das es d'rachai v'lishkod al dalsei torasi Nitzor torasi b'libcha v'neged enecha tiyah yirasi Shmar picha michol chet v'ktaheh v'kadesh asmecha mikol ashma v'avon. He said, learn with all your heart and soul to know my ways, my with a capital M, to be energetic when approaching the doors of my Torah. Guard my Torah in your heart, and may the fear of heaven always be before your eyes. And then he concludes with the following words, V'ani ehyeh imcha b'chol makom, then I will be with you in every makom, for wherever destiny or fate takes you, your makom will always be in his precincts, the makom of Torah and Yerushalayim. Indeed, may he be with you for years without end, years of accomplishment for a Torah, for our people, for yourselves and your families, for all of us at Yeshiva, for Klal Yisrael, b'chol asar v'asar. Amen.
Now, don't worry.